Book of James, chapter number 4 for this afternoon. Dealing with a familiar subject tonight. And let's stand, let's read verse 1. Let's move down through number 12. Let's do that. Let's go 1 through 12. And give you a thought for this afternoon. Y'all pray for me. I need your prayers. And God will give us strength, okay? James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that it may be consumed upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Pretty serious business right there, isn't it? Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, and I'm thankful for that more grace, amen. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves therefore in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Lord, help us as we try to preach, we pray in your name. Amen. You can be seated. James begins chapter number 4. With a subject that is unfortunately a familiar one. James begins the chapter with dealing with the subject of war. It seems like that war has been a part of the human story, well, I guess since there ever was human story. We read about war all the way back in the book of Genesis, and we're still seeing war in our land today. What was it just this past week where it seems like every news cycle was headlined by one story, and it was the killing of an ISIS leader. We see war around us still yet today. They fought wars in Genesis, and we're still fighting wars today. War is sadly a part of life. In fact, war will continue to be a part of life until the day that the Prince of Peace comes, and he finally gives us real lasting peace. But the war that James is talking about is not necessarily the war between nations. It's not America versus Iraq and Afghanistan. That's not the war that James is talking about. Although you could take verses 1 and following and you could make that applicable to the wars that we see between the nations. Oftentimes one nation wars against the other nation. And it oftentimes is because of their lust and their envy and those types of things. James will deal with those types of wars if you could make it applicable to that. But the truth is that the wars that James is talking about is even more common than that war that we see on CNN. James is talking about family war. He's talking about cultural war. He's talking about religious war. He's talking about church war. Talking about internal war. You see, James has something to say about the battles that take place in our families, in our homes, in our churches, and in our own selves. You see, when James says, wherefore come wars and fightings among you, the you that he's talking about are the believers inside of the church. As we move through this chapter, I hope we'll see a progression. That's what I want the Lord to show us. Because James does a masterful job of showing us really and truly who it is that we're at war with. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Who are you at war with? Who are you at war with? Well, depending on how you look at these scriptures, you could see that you'd be at war with one of three people. If you're taking notes, maybe you want to write this. Number one, you might write this: my war is with you. My war is with you. Look at verse 1. Wherefore come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain, you fight and war, you have not because you ask not. Verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law. So James is teaching us now, verse 1, verse 2, verse 11, that this war is between us, or between the brethren, between these members of this congregation. In fact, he begins by asking a question. This is the question he asks in verse 1. Where does war come from? Where does it come from? Then he follows that up quickly by answering his own question and said, war comes from your lust and your envy. I think I should say this. I hope you know this, but I think I should say this before I move too far along. I think I need to point out that when I talk about war, I should say this. According to our scripture, there is a time and a season for war. We understand that, do we not? We're okay with that. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 8, that there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. There's a time to war and there is a time to peace. There are instances in your Bible where God helped and fought for his people. Oftentimes we see that in the pages of the Word of God. We read the story of Joshua as he's out fighting for Amalek, or fighting against Amalek. And Joshua prays, "Sun, stand still." And the God of the universe puts the brakes on the universe as it circles around the sun. And everything just stops so that Joshua can whoop Amalek. God did that. That same God, speaking of Amalek, sometime later told King Saul, "I want you to go march against Amalek and I want you to destroy all of them." It was God that said that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a time for war, but that's not the war James is talking about in chapter number 4. You see, James is not talking about the war where it is a righteous war, where God said, go fight the enemy. It is a war that arises from the lustful places of the hearts of man. It is not a righteous war. It is a sinful war. You see, the same God that commanded Saul to go to war and allowed the sun to stand still so Joshua could win his war, that same God has called you and me to live in peace and unity. David said in Psalms 133:1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The great soldier David said that. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Paul said in Romans 12:18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." You see, God has called us to live at peace. The unfortunate thing is that we don't always live up to that calling. It was the disciples that fought amongst each other about who among them would be the greatest. It was the early church that fought with Peter, then later would fight with Paul about how a person could be saved and what it took for them to be saved. That was a big deal. They fought about it. The Corinthians were so carnally minded that when we come to the book of 1 Corinthians, we find that those believers inside of that local church were so fighting with one another, they were actually taking each other to court and suing one another. God has called us to live in peace and unity, but, well, oftentimes we don't live up to that calling. In fact, in this small book of James, we see many wars play out on the pages of the Scriptures. There's a class war taking place. What is it in chapter number 1? I believe it is chapter 2, where the rich man and the poor man come into the congregation. They show favoritism to one and despise the other. There's a class war taking place. In chapter number 5, there's a war amongst employers and employees. As the employer does the employee wrong and the employee doesn't do what they should for their master. In chapter number 3, there's strife and contention and war inside of the church. He starts chapter 3 by saying, be not many masters. Everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody wants to be the teacher. And everybody has their own ideas about how things should be run and operated and what should be said. And there's strife and envy and contention in the church. You see, our Bible, we see so often times where folks fail to live up to that calling. But before we judge them too quickly, we must say that we are still fighting and warring over things that we should not be fighting and warring over. Here in our world today, the sad reality is that there's still fights going on between male and female. Is that right or not? There are still some people that, some males that believe that because they are male, that they are better than everybody else. Shame on you. And there are females that are fighting for their rights, but they're fighting in a very ugly way. Here in 2019, we're still fighting over whether we're white or black. Civil War ended a bunch of years ago, and there's still some people right here in our neighborhood that think that because they're white, they're better than somebody else. If you can't say amen to neither one of them two, you'll say amen to this one. We're fighting over whether we're Republican or Democrat. Isn't that right? We're fighting over whether we're Republican, Democrat. And what about this? It's even more unfortunate these fights have come inside of our churches. We're fighting one denomination against another denomination. There are so many churches. I thank God that this has never been a problem for me here. But if you could get inside of so many churches, you know what you'd discover? You'd discover an internal struggle where the deacons are fighting with the pastors. If Brother Scott ever fights with me, I'll just tell you all about it. Internal struggles inside of the church. In our churches, there's one family that sits on this side that won't talk to another family. I'm talking about the average church now. One family won't talk to another family because, you know, Hatfield-McCoy stuff. Something happened, you know, years and years and years ago, and your granny said something mean to my granny when she made macaroni and cheese at the last fellowship. And I'm telling you, in our churches. James said, where does your war come from? He said, this war is among you, and it shouldn't be that way. Just before Calvary, our Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and John records his prayer to his Father just before his death and before he leaves this world. And Jesus, as part of his prayer, prays this in John 17:21. He said that they, talking about the believers, the disciples, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know what Jesus prayed? He said, I pray that the believers are just as much one with each other, Father, as I am one with you. And he said, if they're one with each other, the world will see that you have sent me. You see, we are all part of the same family, going to the same place, saved by the same blood, all got the same sin in our past. We ought to be all on the same side of each other. This is a crude illustration. I'm sorry for giving it, but it just come to me, and I think it's right. Hearing just a little bit ago, Mackenzie was up here, and she's just a little too afraid to sing her song. And some of her friends, I said, how about you friends come and help her? And her three friends run up here and helped her. If it was adults and somebody couldn't get the song out, I hope somebody in the congregation wouldn't have said, well, that's good enough for them. They're singing my song anyways. When's the last time you wrote a song? I write three sermons a week. When's the last time you wrote a song? I'll come back over here. I don't know if they like that. I'll come back over here. You know what we ought to do? See a fellow believer struggling? You ought to run up there right next to them, grab them by the arm, and I'm right here with you. And then when they got done, none of the three of them try to get all the glory for themselves. They were just pumped up that they got to sing together. You see, unfortunately, James said a lot of times these wars are among us. We're fighting with each other. And we're on the same team. We're fighting with each other and we're in the same family. Let it never be said we're fighting with each other and we're part of the same church. All right, James, he says, where's your war come from? Okay, number one, my war is with you. We see that among you stuff. But now I want you to watch this. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. My war is with myself. My war is with myself. Look at these same verses, but let's just read them a little differently now. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain, you fight in war, you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it of your own lust. In verse 1, James begins by talking about those outward fightings, those outward wars that take place, those among you wars. They're wars between one person and another person. But in these verses, James is telling us not only is the war among us, but the war is within us. He said in verse 1, among you, but then he also said in verse 1, in you. In fact, James talks about things like lust and desire. You know what those are? Those are internal sins. And he mentions them over and over and over again in verse 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, the war of the heart is causing the war in the church. You understand that sin almost always begins with selfishness. Okay, just to make sure we're on the same page. Eve ate the fruit that she ate because she believed that if she ate that fruit, she would be wise like God. And she felt a little left out or a little done wrong because that was the best looking tree anyways and God wouldn't let her eat of it. And so instead of seeing everything God did give her, she saw the one thing God didn't give her. And she lusted after it. And she sinned because she lusted after. When Abraham went down into Egypt, he did so because he was trying to protect himself. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Then why in the world did he go down there? Because there's a famine. He was afraid he's going to get hungry. And then when he got down there, he said, you know what, Sarah? You're pretty good looking. And if they find out that I'm married to you, they'll kill me and take you. So you just tell them you're my sister. You tell me who Abraham's looking out for it. He's looking out for Abraham. Right? You think about David. David saw Bathsheba. And you can think what you want to think, but I know what David thought that day. He thought she good looking. And David lusted after her. And the lust inside of him caused him to do terrible and unspeakable things. Sin oftentimes begins with selfishness. That's the reason our Lord on the Sermon on the Mount said, don't be angry at your brother without a cause. Because the inside sin would become the outside sin. Don't look after a woman to lust upon her. Because the inside sin would become the outside sin. So you see, that's what's happening in this church. This church was selfish inside, and their selfishness was turning into wars and fightings and killing because they were lusting after things. One writer said, if there's war on the inside, there will ultimately be war on the outside. There are many people in this world that are always at war with somebody. They're fighting with their neighbor. They're mad at a relative. They're upset at another church member. And while it seems that their fight is always with somebody else, do you know who their fight really is with? It's with themselves. They are always fighting with somebody else because the truth is they are not happy inside. And because they are not happy inside, they want everybody else to be just as unhappy as they are. I wrote a couple things down. I think this is right. I wrote this down. When we are unthankful in our own hearts, it causes us to be angry with those who have what we think we deserve. When we have jealousy in our own heart, it causes us to hate a brother or sister that probably has done nothing wrong to us. When we have bitterness in our own heart, it causes us to rail against and strike out at others because we feel that they have done us wrong. When we have pride in our own heart, it causes us to destroy anyone who threatens our position. We are at war with others because we are at war with ourselves. And I think that we would find that if we would get our own self right, it would take care of a lot of our external conflicts. Okay? Number one, I'm at war with you. Number two, I'm at war with me. But wait a minute, there's another progression in our text. Number three, my war is with God. My war is with God. Look at verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Notice that James takes this war one step further. He reveals to us in verse 4, 5, and 6 that ultimately our war is with God. You see, the moment that we allow sin to enter into our heart, that sin separates us from God, and it puts us as opposing enemies with God. When you and I are friendly with the things that God hates, then we become God's enemy. You say, well, preacher, what is it that makes me God's enemy? James said it's when you are a friend of the world. That's what he said in verse 4. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. The word world in verse number 4 means the world's systems or the world's philosophy. When you read these verses, you can see a battle taking place. In this scripture, there's pride and there's lust and the Spirit is warring against those things. The Spirit is telling us, don't have pride, don't have envy, don't have lust. But the flesh is saying, I want to do those things, even though they're not pleasing in God's sight. Whether you realize it or not, when you live to please your flesh, you are declaring war against our God. Therefore, James says that there are many Christians that are at war with each other because they are at war with themselves. Whether they realize it or not, they are at war with God. I would hope it would never be said of me that I've been God's enemy. But the sad truth is that I know there have been times that I've done things that are wrong. And it has put me on the opposite side of the battlefield. God's Holy Spirit has said, do this, and I have not done it. Or God's Holy Spirit has said, do not do that, and I have done it. And that Spirit was warring in me, and the flesh was warring in me. And I'm sad to say there have been times I have chose the flesh. James says, when we fight amongst each other, we war with ourselves, it is because whether we realize it or not, we are the enemy of God. But James doesn't just give us the problem. He gives us the solution to the problem. I'm going to show it to you. You can write it down, take it home with you, pray about it, and think about it. James said, if you are at war, he said, there's three things you can do. Number one, you can submit to God. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our first step is to deal with pride and submit to God. It's interesting that in verse 7 we are both told to submit to God and to resist the devil. You see, pride and the devil go hand in hand. You know that it was pride that led to that original sin, right? When the devil rebelled against God. Didn't he lust and envy and ultimately war? And when we allow pride to be in our lives, it leads us to be at war with others and to be at war with God. So James says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Resist that pride and humble yourself. Submit before God. You see, when you are number one in your own world, you are at war with everybody else in your world. When you, however, on the other hand, submit to the Lord, you realize you are nothing, He is everything, and you are at peace with those that are around you. The only way to win the war inside of you is to surrender and give up. That's why most people never get past the envy, the bitter, the jealousy, the anger, the whatever. Because they don't want to let it go. They don't want to submit to God. They would rather hang on to that thing and let it kill them and be at war with everybody around them than feel like they lost. But you're not losing when you submit to God, you're winning. The best way to win victory is to surrender. Seems so strange, doesn't it? But the way to victory is to surrender or to submit. He said, number two, he said, you can draw close to God. Verse number 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Next, he tells us to draw closer to God. How do we draw closer to God? We draw closer to God by repenting of those sins that are warring inside of us and getting those things out of our lives. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. You see, when you begin to remove sin from your life, you begin to draw closer to God. Every step you take, He takes one big God-sized step in your direction. And the closer you get to God, the more you become at peace with everybody else around you. And when you get these things out of your heart, God has more room to take up in your heart. You get these things out of your heart. Now you're not having to worry with these things and wrestle with these things. And now you've got peace in your own self so you can be at peace with everybody else. Draw nigh to Him by cleansing yourself and purify. God, I submit to You. God, I want You to take these things out of my heart. I'm talking about the way to peace. If you want to have peace, this is how you do it. You can strike back at that one you think did you wrong, and it'll give you a momentary peace, but it will not be a lasting peace. Instead, we give these things to God. And finally, James said, you're going to need to humble yourselves to God. Submit to God, draw close to God, humble yourselves to God. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. Submission in verse 7 is more outward, and now humbling ourselves is inward. You say, well, humble and submit sounds a lot like the same thing, preacher. Well, it does sound a lot like the same thing, but here's the difference. You can submit on the outside and not humble yourself on the inside. Okay. You can stop sinning with your hands, but that doesn't mean you believe that thing was wrong with your heart. Okay, here's what it looks like. Submitting. God, I'm going to stop fighting with my neighbor. Okay? I'm going to stop fighting with my neighbor. But you know, I can stop fighting with my neighbor and in my heart still believe that I was 100% right, they was 100% wrong, and they'll pay for it one day. Bless God, they'll pay for it one day. I ain't going to fight with them no more. But that don't mean I got to like them. Oh, don't act like y'all never thought that way before. Bunch of holy rollers. I know y'all better than that. But this is what, okay, submitting. I'm not going to fight with them anymore. This is humbling. I'm not going to fight with them anymore. And it doesn't matter if I was right or it doesn't matter if I was wrong. I just want to be at peace with God and be at peace with my fellow man. Oh, there's a difference there, isn't there? I've told you the story of the little girl that was riding in the front seat with her dad in the car. I've told you this story, I think. And the story says that the little girl stood up in the front seat. And the daddy said, sit down. And she just kept standing there. He said, honey, sit down, you're going to hurt yourself. And she just kept standing there. And finally he said, if you don't sit down, I'm going to give you a spanking. She reluctantly sat down. And a minute or two passed and she said, I'm still standing up on the inside. God, it doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong. It doesn't matter if they did me wrong. It doesn't matter if they said that thing about me. It doesn't matter if they acted that way toward me. It doesn't matter how bad that thing hurt me. I just want to be right with you, and I want to be at peace with everybody else. If we submit, if we draw, if we humble ourselves, then God will lift us up, bring us into His presence, and He will give us peace. But Scott, why don't you get us a song? Let's have a verse of invitation. If you need to come pray tonight, you're welcome to do so.